Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Acts, the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We'll begin reading at verse number 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all of the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your wonderful, wonderful grace. Thank you for the Lord, the things that went on here before the preaching, for the singing, Father, for the giving, Father, for the praying. We pray and ask you, God, for our children's church. God, bless them, help them, encourage the hearts there. And Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, do the work that needs to be done. Once again, in this auditorium, Father, we pray and ask you, O God, please, Lord, you be honored today. And as you are, Father, you'll be able to work and do what needs to be done in hearts today. I pray the sweet Holy Spirit of God has complete control today. And God, whatever happens here today will because he's ordained it. And we'll thank and praise you for it because we pray this in the wonderful, blessed name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I'm going to preach a message about Barnabas. Barnabas, when I look at him and I read about his life, I think that's the kind of church member that I would want to be. I think that's the kind of church member that I would like to see fill our churches. And there's some things about Barnabas that was just very special man. And we want to look at him today for just a little while and see some things that might help us to be better for God than we are today. You agree with that? We need to be? Sure we do. And then I want to start by just going back to chapter 4 of the book of Acts. Verse 36 and 37 tells us a little bit about Barnabas. We're going to mainly stay in chapter 11 today, but I want to just get a few things here about him. In chapter 4, verse 36, and Joes, his name was Joes, and they changed it to Barnabas, who by the apostle were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. That means exhortation or comfort. He was a man who gave great comfort. He was a very kind, I believe, and gracious man. We find also that he was a Levi and of the country of Cyprus. We also says, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. One of the things we learn here about Barnabas is that he was a very, very generous man. He took that which he had, he sold it, laid it at the apostles' feet. He was a generous man. I believe church members ought to be generous. I believe we as God's people ought to be generous, don't you? Don't you think that would be a right thing for us to do? Sure it is. But Barnabas was a very generous man. Now over in chapter 9 of Acts, we find chapter 9, verse 26. Says when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself in the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. You find Barnabas here with Saul. And Saul was, of course, before he got saved, was a pretty wicked man as far as wanting to destroy Christians. He thought that they was wrong. He thought that they had the wrong doctrine and all of these things. So he went about to arrest multitudes of them, and even was responsible for some of them being brought to death. So when Saul got saved, this was really something. The disciples were afraid of him. I think we can all understand that. Was afraid of him. And he didn't have any friends. The apostles didn't know what to do with him because he had been destroying the church. So Barnabas steps in as a mediator here and steps in and tells them what he had observed about Saul, how he'd been preaching, how he got saved, how the Lord had spoke to him, and all of these things. Once again, I think that in looking at Barnabas, he was a very gracious man. He wanted to be a help and a blessing, and he did, and he became a good friend to Saul. I think that's important that we have good friendships, don't you? I think that's very, very important. We try to be a friend and be a blessing to those around us. And so that's the kind of man that he was. I believe in Acts 11th chapter, we're going to go back to, but in Acts 11th chapter, I believe we're going to see some more things about Barnabas that makes him just the proper kind of church member. I think you and I can learn today. Don't you want to be a better church member than you are? I want to. I'm serious about that. I want to be better than I am. I want to grow in the Lord. I want to know more about the Lord. I want him to be able to use me more than he ever has before. Amen. I want to do that. And I want to be better. I'm never going to be satisfied with what I am in the Lord. And so I can learn from Barnabas and learn what kind of an individual he was, you see. And so I believe he's the kind, we can look at this, and I believe he's the kind of a member that we need in our churches. You know, the Bible says in verse 24 that he was a good man. Now, we'll follow up with this at the end of this sermon, but the Bible says he was a good man. You know, you may not be a great person. You may not be a very talented person. You may not have a lot of money, but you can be good. You can be good. You agree with that? We may not have all the things maybe that Barnabas had that he was helped his church with, but you can be good. And I believe that's what God would have us to do. I believe church members, people who know Christ, ought to be good. You don't be good to get saved because you can't do that. You be good because you are saved. You agree with that? Amen. That's what the Word of God says. So I'm going to look at some things. First of all, I want to look at Barnabas and see he was a good man because of what he saw. And I want you to see in verse 23 what he saw. He says, and who, when he came and seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. You find here that Barnabas, the Bible says, he saw the grace of God. Think about how in the world can you see the grace of God? Barnabas saw the grace of God. Let me tell you what I believe he saw. I believe he saw the souls that had been saved and how God by his grace had saved multitudes. And when he came there to Antioch, he saw these people that had been born again, and he was seeing the grace of God. When we see people saved around here, you're seeing the grace of God in action. It's a wonderful thing. Barnabas, when he came, what did he look for? Did he look for all the nitpick things? No, he saw the grace of God. He saw exactly what God was doing. He saw people being saved, and he saw the results also of their life being changed. That's the grace of God. You see, a person gets saved, their lives are going to have some changes, that they're going to begin to grow toward the Lord. They're not going to be perfect. They're not going to, everything ain't going to change overnight. But when we see the grace of God do something in our heart because of salvation, we also see lives changed. That's witnessing and seeing the grace of God. Now, I believe also he's seen a people. He's seen a people there at Antioch who was rejoicing in the Lord. Folks, that's the grace of God. God's people ought to rejoice. There may be times of sadness in our life, but I want to tell you something. Mainly what we need to see is the grace of God in rejoicing in what God has done. He had just saved many folk here, and he had just seen people's lives change. So what was he doing? He was seeing the people rejoicing over this. So you see, he saw the grace of God. And we see it when people get saved here and see lives changed and turned around and see people rejoicing over what God is doing. That's seeing the very grace of God in action. Amen. So he saw the grace of God in action. He was a good man, and that's what he was looking for. He was not looking for the worst in people. He was looking for the best. And he looked around and he saw the wonderful grace of God and what God was doing in others. I would ask you, are we grateful? Are we thankful for what God is doing in others? Talk about this in a minute, but folks, we need to understand something. When we see new converts saved, we got to remember they are new converts. We got to understand they're babes in Christ, and they need time to grow and to learn. Do you believe that? You see, we better get off of our high horse. You know, we better remember back what we were. You understand what I'm saying? What were we when we first got saved? I don't know about you, but I was a mess. Amen. That's why God saved me. And I didn't know anything. I was dumber than a box of rocks. Amen. That old saying used to go, you know, I'm dumb. I didn't know anything. But we need to. And that's what Barnabas saw. He saw the grace of God, and I want to show you here what he felt. In that same verse of Scripture, look what he says. He saw the grace of God, and two words, was glad. Yes. See, he was glad. When he saw the grace of God, he was happy about it. You see, he thought that was wonderful. I think it's wonderful. I think that's what we ought to do when we see God's grace. I think we ought to be glad about it, don't you? You know, do you know, I've seen people, honestly, down through the years, I've seen people get aggravated when revival had a good revival meeting and God was doing things. I've seen people get aggravated to that because it shows them up for what they are. Amen. I believe when we see the things, see the grace of God in action, I think we ought to get excited about that. And I think we ought to be glad. Amen. I'm glad we've got some folk going to get baptized this morning. I'm glad. I'm happy. I'm thankful for it, grateful for it, you see. Why? It's the grace of God in action. Amen? So we need to do that. That's what Barnabas done. And he was rejoicing in what God was doing here in these people's lives, you see. Let me just ask you a question. Do we rejoice when God is using other people beside ourselves? Amen? Do we rejoice when we see somebody else successful in their Christian life and God doing some wonderful things and through them? Do we rejoice at those things, or does it irritate us? See, Barnabas was glad. He's just glad it was going on. Amen. And I believe we ought to be glad when somebody else is a special instrument of God's grace and power. I think we ought to be glad in it. Don't you? Yes, I do. That's the kind of man that Barnabas was. He was glad. He could look around the congregation and see people growing, seeing people get saved, seeing their lives change and rejoicing in the Lord and being used of God. And he was glad. He was a very unselfish man, Barnabas was. And he rejoiced in the things of the Lord. And then notice also what Barnabas said. You notice in verse 23, he says, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. What did he do? What did Barnabas say here? The Bible says he exhorted them. He encouraged them. He encouraged, let me say, first of all, the new converts. I said something about that a while ago, but listen, when people get saved, they need encouraged. They need to be helped along in their Christian life. They don't need to be set around and judgmental. You may have to correct them. You may have to help them and encourage them, but you do that with a spirit of encouragement. They need to be taught and trained on what's expected and all those things, but you remember, and again I say this, how were you and where were you when you was first saved? We all better remember when we're first saved, we're babes in Christ. And we got to grow up. We got to learn. And we got to help him. I think Barnabas, I don't know what he done for sure. It doesn't say that, but I can see Barnabas for somewhat reason. And there's a little bit of scriptural reason behind that. I'm not going to bring that out. But I want to tell you what I think Barnabas was. I think he was a monster of a man. No, I really do. I have some reasons for that. But I think he was a big man. And I could see this big old man Barnabas walking around there at Antioch with the church and just shaking hands with them and just loving them and say, boy, I'm so glad you got saved. I'm so thankful that you come to know Christ. You say, I can just see him going amidst the people and just thanking them and praising God for the fact that they had gotten saved and they was God's child. I believe he was that kind of a Christian. He exhorted them, the Bible says. Amen. Not only that, I believe he urged them to be out and out steadfast believers. I think he said to them, now listen, don't you be no fly by night. Don't you start this thing and then quit. I want to see you 10 years from now. I want to see you right here in Antioch, serving God and doing what's right and being steadfast in the things of God. I believe that's what he was encouraging. That's what we need today. We need some encouragement of just being steadfast in the things of the Lord. Just keep on keeping on. Amen. You know, 10 years from now, I want to see you folks. I may not be here, but I want to see. I want to see you praising the Lord and thanking God and just be here in your place and serving God. Amen. That wonderful, you young folk out there. You need to step up to the plate and get busy and just stay faithful and just keep on keeping on. Amen. See, I think that's the kind of Barnabas was doing. He was exhorting them. And not only that, if you'll notice there in that verse, it's the end of that verse, he said, in purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. I think that in essence, and maybe he wasn't saying this in words, but I think all the time Barnabas was going around and saying, look to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Just keep looking to Jesus. He's the one that saved you. He born you again in God's family. He saved you. Now just keep your eyes on him. Author and finisher of your faith, Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on him. I can just see Barnabas going around to these young people and these folk got saved and all this and just encouraging them. You say, stick in there, stay right there, exhorting them to cleave to Jesus and make Jesus the king of your life. He's your Savior now. He said, you let him be the king of your life. Keep your eyes on him. Amen. See, that's the kind of man that Barnabas was. I think we need a few of those, don't you? Amen. I think we need a few of those that'll just exhort the other ones. You know when folk, honestly, when folk don't be faithful to church, they need exhorted. Right. Oh, certainly they do. They don't want to come to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night services. They need to be exhorted. We're not mad at anybody. We just need to exhort you and say, get in there. Come on. You're not going to learn like you should learn if you just come Sunday morning. Right. Amen. Now, I'm not on you. I'm telling you the truth. You need to be here. You need to be in God's house. Why? So we can exhort you and help you and teach you what you should do and learn. You know, a lot of times on Sunday morning, I give salvation messages. If you're saved, you know, you don't need a salvation message every week. But if you'll come on Sunday night, you'll get some other kind of preaching. You come on Wednesday night, you'll get some other kind of preaching. Come on Sunday school, you'll get some preaching in Sunday school. Amen. Get here and hear the word of God. That's how you're going to grow. You're not going to grow any other way. Amen. Amen. So I think that's the kind of man that he was. He was a man that was concerned about the new converts. And he wanted them to make much of Jesus in their life. You see, well, why am I saying this to you today? So Jesus will be honored. I want you to honor Jesus in your life. I want you to grow in the Lord so that you can be a good testimony and you can be a testimony to other folk, you see, and get them saved and help them to grow. And see, that's the way we do it. Amen? Now listen to me, pastor's grateful if you come Sunday morning. I'm grateful, but you ought to come more. Amen. You ought to be here more in God's house. Why? For your sake and for the Lord's sake. See, you'll grow more, you see, if you just come. So Barnabas was that kind of man. Another thing I want to show you here, what Barnabas did. Look at verse 25 and verse 26. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus. What did he do that for? Why did he leave? The Bible says, for to seek Saul. He says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. Came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Why did Barnabas go and get Saul? You know why I believe? I believe Saul was the more talented man. Saul was going to be a man that was going to be greater used of God than Barnabas was. Barnabas was exactly what God wanted him to be. Exactly. But there was another man by the name of Saul that God had sent to the Gentiles. And so he went and got Saul, and he said, Saul, you need to come on down here. You need to be here at Antioch. You got to see what's going on down there. You see, Barnabas could have said, man, this is my work. I want to tell you something. It isn't our work. It's the work of God. And that's more important than you or I. You understand that? So that's what Barnabas did. Barnabas didn't fool around. He just said, you know what? I need to go get Saul. This thing's bigger than I am. I'm going to go get Saul. Bring him down here to Antioch, you see, and help him and be a blessing to him, of course. But let Saul be a blessing here to these people here at Antioch. I think that's a mark of a real man when he can seek out a more talented man and he fade out of the picture. You see, we are what God has made us. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. And so Barnabas wasn't ashamed. He was humbled before God. And he said, you know, God, he said, we need old Saul down here. He went up there and got Saul, brought him down there, and a great work was done there in Antioch. You hear me? Amen. You see, it's God's work. It isn't our work. It's God's work. Amen. Let's remember that. So, you know, he was willing to just take a little place as long as God was glorified. As long as God was glorified. That's all matters. Amen. Amen. So then we find also that he was a good man because of what he was. In verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Listen. You know what he was? I can guarantee you this. He spent a whole year here at the church with Antioch teaching. You know why? You know what I know for sure? He was consistent. Those people wouldn't have believed him if he hadn't been right there on the line, on the firing line, consistent in his teaching, consistent in his life. He spent a whole year before them. He was the kind of man that was a good testimony for the Lord. And he taught others. He wasn't just concerned about Barnabas. He taught others that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. You see, he was putting them first. And I know for sure he was consistent in his life. I don't believe anybody found it. Barnabas was just a man. He had his little problems and all of this. But I want to tell you, as far as a Christian, he was a fine Christian, upstanding Christian. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. So I'm saying to you, you know, we need to be consistent. Amen. This old up and down stuff needs to go in Christianity. Amen. This old in and out stuff needs to go in Christianity. Right. Be consistent. Amen. Just do what God wants you to do and be right there. That's kind of man that Barnabas was. Amen. That's kind of people that the church today needs. Amen. We need that. And then we also know that Barnabas was a good man for what he was. In verse 26, I think I just said that. But let me tell you something. You're going to find that words, I've said this for years and years, words don't mean nothing. without them being backed up by actions. They're worthless. I want to read you a little poem. I'm not a real poem reader, but this was good, and I want you to hear it. The best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. The lectures you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. I may not understand the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act or how you live. See, that's what people need to see. People need to see people steadfast, consistent, doing what God has given them to do and just keep on doing it. I look back over my life, folks, I'm serious. I am so grateful for some of the men of God who just stood in their place over the years. Oh, that helped me. And I can remember the other side of that thing, too, of those who did not. And I want to tell you right now, that never helped me one iota, except to know what not to do. Barnabas was that kind of man. That's who he was. He was consistent. He showed forth his life and belief. You say, Brother Ross, was Barnabas just that kind of man? Brother Ross, was he just good? He liked the rest of us. Lost sinner till he met Jesus. Amen. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith. The secret to Barnabas' goodness was the Holy Ghost, God in him. We can never be what we ought to be without God, without God in us. Barnabas was that kind of a man and that kind of a what I would call a church member because he was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Now you say, Brother Ross, how you get full of the Holy Ghost and faith? Listen to me. Listen very carefully. You can't do either one of those until you're saved. You must be born again. This thing about Christianity is not a game. A person must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. It's an impossibility. He said, I know, but I've not been just too bad. Don't make a difference. You're a sinner lost before the holy God. And the only hope you have is to put your faith and your trust. Come to Christ and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, you say, I believe in him. I'm not talking about a head belief. I'm talking about a heart belief. I'm talking about putting your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, admitting that you're an old sinner. That's what God says we are. And we're a sinner lost, without hope, without Christ. And yet the wonderful grace of God says if you'll put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and receive him as your personal Savior, he'll save you and give you eternal life. And when you die, he'll take you to heaven. It's a promise of God. Amen. But many times the pride of individuals stop that. They're so proudful that they do not want to admit they're lost and need a Savior. And until you come to that place where you're willing to trust Christ and believe that you are a sinner lost, that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not be ready for heaven. But if you will, you will be ready for heaven. It's a promise of God. Do you understand what this preacher's saying? Barnabas was the kind of man he was because he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was saved. He was born again into God's family. And then he gave himself over to the Lord, to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God to guide his life. That's what basic it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You've turned your life over. You've yielded your life over to the Spirit of God, and He tells you what to do. He directs your life. Do you understand? You hear? But you can't do any of those things till you're saved. Just in passing, I want to show you one other thing He was. Look at verse number 30. Which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. They had taken up a great offering. This man was a trustworthy man. They was going to send it, this offering, they was going to send it, and they chose Barnabas and Saul to take this offering and to carry it to another church. You know why? Because he was trustworthy. We need trustworthy Christians. I really feel in my heart, honestly, honest to goodness, I don't want to steal, I don't want to take one penny that is not mine. Why? Because we're God's children. We want to be a trustworthy man and woman for the Lord. Amen. I just want to encourage you this morning, if you're here and you're not saved. Now, folks, can you honestly say, I know if I died today, I'm going to go to heaven. I know that for sure. I know. For sure, I'll go to heaven if I die. If you can't say that, you need to come this morning. You need to give your heart and life to the Lord. Receive Him as your personal Savior. Say, I'm a sinner, I need saved, and I know Christ is the only one who can save me. You need to walk up this aisle this morning. Humble yourself before God, or is that pride going to stop you? Hear what this preacher is saying? You need to come and receive Christ as your personal Savior. You need also, if you're already a Christian this morning, you need to come and present yourself. If you've not done this and you're not doing that in your life, you need to present yourself. Lord, help me to be more like Barnabas, because he was like you. And that's basically what it is. Barnabas was doing things the Lord himself would do. And the reason he could do it was because he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. There's changes we need to make in our life. We need to be better for God than we've ever been. So if you're unsaved, don't hesitate. We're going to stand in just a moment. Don't hesitate. Just come on and let us take God's word, and we will show you how you can be saved. Those who's going to be baptized can go at this time if they're in the auditorium.